I'm Confucius, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 989 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Fresh and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay.
I'm just gonna delve right into it. By now, everyone has heard the news that South by Southwest has officially been canceled due to fears of the coronavirus by Mayor Steve Aller and the city of Austin. I got a lot of thoughts on this, and a lot of people have a lot of thoughts on this, as I'm seeing online via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. A lot of people are voicing their thoughts of why they're happy that South By was canceled, why they aren't happy that South By was canceled. I'm not happy that it was canceled. I honestly didn't think that it would be canceled. It took me by surprise. I mean, we all have been seeing the big name companies, the Amazons, the Apples, the Twitters, et cetera, pull out from the festival, but I didn't think that would stop anything. South By is a pretty big, that stretch, like not just the music, but like even the gaming, the interactive, the film, like that stretch, those 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks here in Austin are pretty big financially for the city. So I thought for that reason alone that the city would, you know, brave the fears and keep things going and keep it pushing. They didn't. They felt like it labeled it a local disaster. My entire life in living in Austin, I've never heard that phrase used, but I guess never had anything like, I'm not going to say never had anything like, but I guess nothing thus far in the 34 years of South By was serious enough to cancel South by Southwest, even with last year of a man mailing bombs and blowing up people of color in the East Austin section of the city. But that gets lost. So, but anyway, South by is canceled. It's hitting some people harder than it is hitting others. Other people are happy because, like, traffic's going to be less congested than it already is, which, like, if that's your only concern, then, man, you can, honestly, in my eyes, you can keep your opinion to yourself. Like, if that's all you're worried about, because traffic here is going to be backed up no matter what, no matter what day it is. It's ridiculous any given day that you out. But it does hit the economy here hard. So I kind of like, I liken it to Black Friday for the service industry, for the bartenders, the waiters, venue owners, promoters, like artists. Like this is a big financial gain for a lot of people, backline people, people who provide all of the wiring, the instruments, and all of that. Like this is a big time of year for them and for our economy here. And like a lot of people bank on South By to make a profit, to enter the black. For those that don't know what black is, it's the time where a retail establishment enters profitability, hence the term Black Friday. But anyway, that's something, lesson if you didn't know, now you know. But anyway, South by Southwest being canceled kind of disrupts all of that. Like I know people, I personally know people who are affected by, I know somebody who today was saying that people he employs and he gets gigs for to do backline, you know, for a lot of these shows. He had like 5 shows throughout the week and had people going, he had people he had employed to go out and run backline for a lot of these, for these shows that he had. And now they're out of a job for an entire month. Like, imagine being out of a job for a month, bro. Like, rent still due, bills are still due. That don't stop because you're not finding the work or the work got canceled. Like, that doesn't stop. But I think a lot of people are being short-sighted and saying that, you know, oh, well, y'all just got to hustle harder. Like, bro, that's easier said than done. Or, I'm glad South By was here. It was just way too corporate. But it wasn't about that. It's about us too, like, is here in our own backyard, and we eat off of it. We feed off of it. Like, we gain from that as well in the local economy. A lot of people I'm seeing are just saying, like, nobody really missing out on money. Name me a label executive or major label that's coming out here. They not caring about South by Southwest being canceled. But it's not about them either. It's not about whether they feel it or they hurting. It's about us here in our industry that are hurting. Like, a lot of people wanted to talk down on the local economy, but that local economy feeds you and has fed you. You still benefiting off this local economy and got the nerve to sit there and talk down about it when people are hurting. People are now going to hurt and have to figure out how to get money to take care of themselves. This is a lot of people's livelihood, and their livelihood has just been hit. I'm seeing a lot of articles about how some venues are really feeling it and are going to feel it because feel the hurt from South By being canceled, because it is a big event. And like I said, they do look towards South By to kind of reach profitability. And that's just the name of the game. Some guy tried to, you know, argue me down that, you know, that wasn't the big issue. And the issue was really these people who come here for South By and, you know, they end up gentrifying the city. Yeah, that's an issue too. But the direct issue at hand is people whose livelihood is at stake because of the cancellation. And I don't think the city looked at that. It's great they were thinking about public safety and public health with the coronavirus, but I honestly believe that it was just a hyper reaction. Like, the rodeo is still here, and I'm seeing people talking about it. It's people coming from San Antonio and from Houston and from other places in the state of Texas who have people in their cities who have contracted the virus, and they coming here for the rodeo. But everybody was quick to say cancel South by Southwest, but nobody said nothing about canceling the rodeo. People come here from all over for Texas Relay. I don't see nobody applying the pressure to the University of Texas to cancel that event or Urban Music Fest. Like, y'all weren't thinking about that. Y'all were just thinking about South by. Like, cancel that. But, like, March is a big month financially for the city of Austin, and there are a lot of people hurting, and I really just wanted to speak with it. I know people that work for South By that are more than likely going through it, trying to figure out, you know, getting the word out to people and figuring out what to do and what's the next move for them and other people that were involved in South By. I'm missing out on money, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and make it about me, but, yeah, I'm missing out on money that I could have used, money that I needed, but I think people are just, like I said, being short-sighted about it all just because of traffic or just because your financial status or your financial gainings aren't being directly affected. Like, that's kind of you discounting somebody else's plight because you aren't being affected. And honestly, that's just trash, man. That's trash. And as a city, we got to do better. I'm seeing a lot of crowdfunding going on from different venues. I think I saw Mohawk and Empire setting up something, you know, for that week that South by Southwest music was going to happen, and a lot of other crowdfunding campaigns that are going on and taking place to kind of put on our own little underground independent festival. You know, it's the live music capital. We're gonna make a way. We're gonna if anything that I've learned from being part of this community, this scene, this industry, is that we're going to make a way. It may not be the big impact that South By was, but we're going to make a way. So peace and love to everybody that is being affected. I hope you bounce back hard. I hope you bounce back in a good way. I'm here supporting you. So I just, you know, just know that. So, Megan Thee Stallion, coming out of Houston, Texas, shout out H-Town, had a very busy week, I should say. Friday, she put out her EP or collection of songs or body of work, however she wants to phrase this. It's not an album, but she put out her new project, Sugar. And with that coming out, some things were kind of preventing it from coming out beforehand. If you have not been on the internet and living underneath the rock, Megan Thee Stallion, last Sunday, came out saying that her label or production company, however you want to frame what 1501 is, you know, was preventing her from releasing music. And so this video, of course, went viral and has taken over the music talks for majority of the week. and information about her contract coming out. She's saying she just wanted to renegotiate her contract. She's got management by Roc Nation, and she also has a distribution deal with 300, who Young Thug and Migos and some other people were signed to. So she has all these deals, but the deal she was mostly concerned about was her deal, her initial deal with 1501 Productions, who was headed up by a former baseball player, Carl Crawford, who's also based out in Houston, and he linked up with Jay Prince and doing some dealings with him. So that's a whole thing in itself. But anyway, Meg was complaining that, you know, when she signed with Roc Nation for her management deal, that, you know, she's finally got, you know, lawyers, real actual lawyers, and they were looking at it and they were pointing out things or discrepancies in her contract with 1501 and asking her, did you know this was in here? Did you know that was in here? And she was like, no, I didn't know this was in here. Meg says, you know, she signed the contract when she was 20 years old. She was in Houston, and like her people claim her mother was there with her and looked it over. But so a lot of the internet went off, and everybody's whole take was, well, she should have read it. Artists got to stop doing this. Artists got to stop signing contracts and stop signing papers, signing their name without reading anything. I don't know what she did or did not do. I don't know if she didn't, if her or her mother didn't hire a lawyer. Just because you have a lawyer there doesn't mean that they're going to catch everything. Just because you read it, you or your mother sit down and read it, if y'all aren't a part of the music business or have never really looked at a contract, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to catch everything. And it's jargon and lingo that you aren't going to necessarily understand every single thing in the contract. And a lot of y'all that were saying that she should have read it, don't read your terms and services, like when you set up your iPhone or when you signed up for Twitter or Facebook, and y'all complained about stuff there. So, you know, it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black. This isn't, social media is just weird. It makes everybody's opinion valid, and a lot of y'all haven't had dealings within the music business, so you don't really know what to say or really should have an opinion on what Meg did. I mean, you can have one. Everybody's entitled to one. Like, yeah, she probably should have read it more carefully, but she was 20 years old, and I saw people saying, well, she was in college, and, you know, her mother was there. Her mother being there doesn't negate anything. It doesn't take away that she wasn't going to catch everything. Her being in college means nothing. She said her major is, like, health administration. How was that going to help her read a music business contract? Like, it doesn't go like that. And y'all know how much lawyers cost? Like, you know, lawyers charge per hour. Like, yeah, they probably would have took the contract and read it initially for free. But, like, after that, you got to pay, bro. And, like, you 20 years old in college, you don't really got the money to just be putting up for a lawyer on retainer at that. So, I mean, this is something that happens with artists in the industry. And Carl Crawford was arguing, and Jay Prince were also arguing, that the contract was pretty standard. She gets a 60-40 split, apparently, but out of her 40% that she gets, she also has to pay for, like, features and production and studio time, which, from what I'm hearing and reading and being told by people in the industry, that's pretty standard. Like Crawford and Jay Prince are saying, it's a pretty standard contract. In fact, it's better than a standard contract. Most first-time artists who sign a contract don't get a deal this good. She's basically trapped in a 360 deal. She wanted to renegotiate. I'm also going to play devil's advocate here. I'm not mad at Carl Crawford and 1501 for not wanting to renegotiate her contract. You haven't put out an official album. Fever could have been your first album of your 4-album deal that you signed, but you haven't put out one contract. This new project could have went toward that, but you were out saying it's not an album, it's an EP. Tina Snow didn't count against that because you said it was a mixtape. As you just said, all of these were just albums. You'd have been 3 albums deep in a 4-album deal, and they more than likely would have sat down with you at the rate that you are and the artist that you are and the caliber of artist that you now are and all the publicity and press and recognition and accolades you have gained. Yeah, they would have sat down with her at this point and more than likely said, all right, what don't you like? Let's sit down and let's talk about it. Let's get this deal done and renegotiate the contract. But you ain't put out an album. So if I'm running the label, I'm not really inclined to sit down with you either. Like, yeah, you hot, you bubbling, but we kind of had a hand in that. We have taken, if I'm Carl Crawford, I'm looking at it, I've taken my money and my label, and we've helped you. And Jay Prince has come along, and he's done whatever it is that he's done. I'm not sure. I'm not privy to that information. But I'm sure they had a hand in it. And Meg is saying, like, I was Meg before. I always been Meg Thee Stallion. I was Meg Thee Stallion before then. But it took them. It took you signing the deal and being a part of 1501 for us, for everybody else, and the masses to know who you were. I didn't find out about Megan until 2018, until she was popping up everywhere in South By. I'm pretty sure they had a hand in her popping up and playing all the shows she played at South By. Like, I'm just, let's just, like, everybody, and like, you, she's at Texas Southern University in Houston. There's mad rappers on that campus. There's mad rappers on that campus that I don't know about, that we don't know about, that the masses don't know about. And just like I went to Prairie View, is everybody, nearly everybody there is a DJ or a rapper or a producer. Like, you can't keep, all of them don't break through. And all of them aren't going to break through. But, like, the gist of it is she went to court, got a temporary restraining order. She released Sugar, which is out now, getting a great reception, getting a great, great reception. I'm not going to say this was a rollout for her, but it's kind of looking rollout-ish. Like, she everywhere now. She's everywhere because of the situation that she's in and talking about it everywhere. She's been at Angie Martinez's Breakfast Club. She was on ESPN First Take, which I'm baffled as to why she was there. People saying that's a Roc Nation thing, but I don't see the point of her being on there because she didn't know anything to talk about sports on a sports show. Like, I wouldn't... Yeah, that just made no sense to me. Personally, if my client, I wouldn't have did it, but, you know, more power to Meg. I hope this whole situation fares in her favor, and it doesn't kill her momentum, and she keeps going, and that her and 1501 come to terms, because she says she doesn't want off 1501. She's not trying to get out of her deal. She just wants to renegotiate, restructure it. So I'm all for that, man. I'm not knocking that. So with that being said, let's get into some music, man. Stick around for more after this quick break. What we're going to get into and dive right into right now is a very special Studio 1A session with Austin's rising R&B star, Drent. So here we go. We're going to be performing some new music from his newly released Don't Save Me EP that is out now. So let's get into it.
Sensitive creatures claim that we want love, but if it's shown, we run away. Boys like me don't want to commit, we just want to fuck around. So baby, are you down? 'Cause I'm down. Don't save me.
I don't want to be saved.
Don't save me.
Saved.
Don't save me, I don't wanna be saved. Don't save me,
I don't wanna be saved.
Don't save me,
I don't wanna be saved.
Don't save me. Boys like me just need somebody that doesn't get too close. 'Cause if you do, you'll see a flaw. Boys like me don't wanna be loved. We'd much rather have the drugs. So are you in? Oh, baby, don't save me.
I don't wanna be saved.
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 Said I don't wanna.
type man.
I don't wanna be sad.
Down type man.
I don't wanna be sad.
It's a downside man.
I don't wanna be sad.
Downside man.
One of my favorite songs. So let's dive right into this thing. So Drent, you just did Don't Save Me, and I have always wanted to ask, what was the motivation behind writing that particular record?
Don't Save Me. Don't Save Me was about trying to tell the world and the people around me to not feel like they have to control me, to not feel like they have to protect me. I feel like a lot of times I run into a lot of people that I feel like sometimes want to change me. And this was my rebellious tune to be like, yo, like, I'm good. Don't save me. I don't need your help. I don't need your saving. Let me live life the way Drent wants to live it. And yeah, I think it portrayed it really well, you know?
Yeah.
Everything came together with that song really well.
How does it feel to put out your first EP? You know, as an artist, a lot of times artists, you know, recording and it's a long road to get to that process. How did it feel to finally finish it?
Dude.
And to put it out to the world.
It feels so good. It feels like dreaming as just a kid, like 13, 12, like wanting to put out a project that's yours and that people can listen to from top to bottom, that's conceptually like, this is how I wanted this to fit, and this to fit, and this to fit. It just feels really, really good. You know, it feels like I accomplished something that I could check off a goal sheet, a vision sheet of mine, and just feel really good. Sonically, it's what I want it to be. Thematically, it's what I want it to be. Lyrically, it's what I want it to be. And so I think for a first project, it kind of captured the essence of where I am in this life, and so right now in this moment. So I'm really proud of it, you know?
Let's jump into unpopular opinion here. Tonight's unpopular opinion really isn't an unpopular opinion. It's just something I just wanted to get off my chest related to South by Southwest. I saw a lot of people when the announcement came out from when South by made their official statement about the cancellation of the festival, that, you know, this is now we're going to see what Austin artists are really made of, what the scene is really made of, who the real hustlers are. And I would just like to say that's a load of bull. There we go. That's how I can say that. That's a load of bull, because the scene has been working and working and working for months, all year long, even though we're only 3 months into 2020, but even before, like, months, it's been working for months, and people have been working and showing that they are making moves. I don't think people, majority of the artists, y'all are thinking of just sitting at home twiddling their thumbs waiting for South by Southwest to pop up for them to show they grind. Are there artists like that? Yes, there are, but for the vast majority, the scene is not working like that. That's not how the rap and hip-hop and R&B scene is working. Nobody's sitting there and just waiting for South by to happen so they can, like, really get out there and really turn it up. If they had opportunities to be an official artist and perform during South by, they were happy for that and they were grateful for that and they were going to do that. A lot of artists had unofficial shows that they were a part of. They had other meetings with other people and all of this, with execs and apps and music apps and all of this. So to say that now is the time we're going to really see, like, they've been showing you. You just haven't been paying attention. A lot of y'all got to open your eyes and step out of your own box and see what is really going on out here before you just start getting online and as Meek said, start getting Twitter fingers and just start talking at the side of your neck, man. Like, y'all really got to cut that out. This week for Local Song of the Week, we have Sheila with her new single, Dismiss. Sheila recently released a live session music video for this single. You can go and check that out now on YouTube. Now, here is Dismissed by Sheila.
Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/TheBreaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.